you say to the Lord, Lord, speak to my heart tonight. Draw me closer to you through the message tonight. Lord, speak to my heart and draw me closer to you, please. Secondly, would you say, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to tonight. Filled with your spirit simply means controlled completely with your spirit. Thirdly, would you ask the Lord, Lord, that your word come forth with power in our hearts and in our lives. Lastly, would you say, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm sure it's been driving you crazy. Well, probably you might have been sitting there thinking, you know what? This is going to be a long one. He's got a pitcher and a water here. Now, I'm going to pour some water into this cup and demonstrate something, all right? Now, you can see, we have a problem here, don't we? want to illustrate something that happens in our life on a regular basis. Yes, Amy, it was supposed to happen. Need to go get another cup. Let's say that the pitcher is the Lord, okay? And let's say that the water in the pitcher are the blessings of the Lord, okay? And this cup represents our life. Of course, the water is the blessings. But what happens is when we spend time with the Lord, he fills our cup up with blessing, right? But you know what happens? The world's pretty tough, right? The world can be mean. The world can say mean things. People can say, even people of the Christian, on the same team can sometimes say mean things, right? And the old devil's on our back, right? And the old flesh doesn't help things. And what happens is some of that blessing just kind of leaks out. I mean, you kind of picture that in your mind. Do you agree with that? That when we spend time with the Lord, we get blessed. We get filled with his blessings. But we go out in the world, and it's like, man, this is tough. What's that bad news again? Oh, health? I got cancer? Oh, you don't like me anymore. Okay, well, I mean, we hear all these things, and the blessings just kind of seep out as part of life. Y'all kind of get that point? So we're going to be talking about that tonight. You know, I'm still on the 2026 theme since we're new into the year. Title, Abundantly Blessed in 2026. Abundantly blessed in 2026. Psalm 16, we're only going to be looking at verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 of Psalm 16 tonight. Abundantly blessed in 2026. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many of you would love to be abundantly blessed in 2026? Would you say absolutely? All right, well, Teresa, you didn't listen to instructions. Ryan, you didn't either. He threw his hand up. I said, now don't raise your hands. Oh, I want to be. Oh, well, but that's okay. I like your enthusiasm. Okay, now how many of you would like to be abundantly blessed in 2026? Raise your hands. Okay, I just didn't want to make those two feel bad. All right, so we're all on the same page. We want to be abundantly blessed. But can I tell you, the Word of God gives us the formula for that, really. Gives us how we can be abundantly blessed in 2026. If you would look at these verses, Psalm 16, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. This is a Psalm of David. And verse 8 says, I have set the Lord. David says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. And my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I mean, wow, that's almost enough to say amen to, right? Abundantly blessed in 2026. I think we all are in the same boat. We have good days, we have bad days. We have stressful days, we have joyful days. I mean, it's kind of like, but really, if we get this down pat in our life, and this is super, super, super important. I know preachers say that a lot, you know, every sermon. This is super, but I really mean it. This is extraordinarily important for a child of God who wants to be abundantly blessed in this year. We're going to look at it in particular. Abundantly blessed in 2026. Point number one, a choice in 2026. A choice. David, as he writes this, not say that probably all of us would agree that David went through probably a whole lot more than we ever will. Right? I mean, have you ever had anybody chasing you to the point that they wanted to kill you? I'm not. I think that'd be a bit stressful. I remember hiding in caves and all that from Saul, and he didn't want to do anything to Saul because Saul was God's anointed king. It wasn't time for David to be king yet, among a lot of other things and stressful things that happened. Now, some of it was a result of David's own sin, and we kind of relate to that too, like, because we're sinners too, right? But he says in Psalm, this chapter 16, verse 8, he makes a choice. Right from the very beginning of this passage, he says, I'm going to make a choice. So much of life is a choice. I mean, every day is filled with choices, right? We choose how to fill our 24 hours. I got news for you. Everybody here has 24 hours in a day. I mean, someone said that in a sermon one time. I'm like, wow, that's pretty profound. But really, it is. How come some people can seem to have their ducks in a row, and some people seem to have such peace and joy in their life and serving the Lord, and others can be, I'm a Christian, but I'm stressed out now. Why is that? I just don't have enough time in my day. And everybody's, you know, the other Christians say, I fit time in there for God. David makes the decision. You see, all of our lives every day are filled with a number of choices. And guess who make those choices? We do, right? Now, I realize when you're working for someone else that you say, well, my employer makes some of those choices, absolutely. And you're married and your family, yeah, they help make some choices. But ultimately, the one who makes the choices in our lives are us. And David says, I have set. It didn't say that the Lord set himself before David. David said, I have set the Lord always, not just sometimes, but always before me, because he is at my right hand. David has made the choice, according to this passage, that he is putting the Lord as priority number one. He's right there before me, always. Every decision I make, everything that I do, I remember my Lord. That's basically what he's saying. Y'all agree with that? You think that's what that's saying? Do you think that's a good idea? You see, David made that choice. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. And then he says, I shall not be moved. You know, David, if you want to put it in modern vernacular today, David said, I'm going to make the Lord priority number one. He's always right there. Now, I believe today, and this is not meant to be critical of our churches and definitely not to be meant to be critical of you. You're a Wednesday night crowd. You come on a rather cool evening this evening. No matter whether it snows for the most part, rains, cold, hot, whatever, you're normally in your place. So I'm not directing this towards you. But do you realize the problem in a lot of the lives of Christians? I bet we could put the number of people... got to be careful. I'm going to start the meddle. I believe if we put all the people that put God as priority number one into a group, it would not amaze us how big that group is. It probably would amaze us. I guess I said that backwards. It would amaze us how few people in our American churches today actually put the Lord as number one. I mean, he's somewhere down the list. I mean, you know, hey, I'm a Christian. It's got to be on the list somewhere. Maybe even in the top 10, but I got all the... And David seems to be saying to me, I'm drawing a line. I'm putting him number one. I have set the Lord always before me. He's always a consideration. He's always the one I'm going to consult. He's always the one on whom I'm going to base my decisions on. And when it says, because he's at my right hand, that speaks of strength, right? And believe me, if anybody's got strength, it's the Lord. If someone says, you know, the right hand, you know, even Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, that's the side of strength. And the Lord, David says, I'm putting him number one, and he is my strength. He's right there. When I need something, he's the one I go to. When I have a decision to make, he's the one I consult. When I don't know which way to turn, when it's a bad day, he's right there. When it's a good day, he's right there. A choice in 2026. I'd encourage you, if you want to have the best 2026 ever, best year ever, you say, you preacher, it's already going to be my best 2026 because it's the only one I've ever had. But if you want it to be the best year ever, guess what? Make the Lord priority number one. So first of all, choice in 2026. Number two, abundant blessings available in 2026. Abundant blessings available in 2026. This is basically the rest of the passage. And I'm going to look at these different blessings, abundant blessings that David writes about that God's going to give him because he made God a priority number one. And there's a second stipulation we're going to look at in the last point. Abundant blessings available in 2026. Now, since he says, I have set the Lord always before me, he is at my right hand. First of all, he says, I shall not be moved. You know that song, I shall not be moved. Yeah, it's probably based upon this verse. I wouldn't guarantee it, but I imagine it's based upon this verse. You know, we as Christians should not be moved. You know, we should not be moved from our biblical convictions. We should not be moved as far as blown away when things happen. We should like, my foundation is the Lord, and I'm standing right here, and I'm staying right here. So many churches have lost their foundation. So many Christians have lost their foundation, and they've been moved. But because the Lord is in my life, because I'm making priority number one, I can stay firm and secure. Nobody knows what's going to happen in 2026 but God. I'm telling you, it could be bad. I mean, just think about all the things that could happen. I mean, just the things that happen, put them in our mind. We could have an epidemic, another pandemic that could wipe out half of the population of America. I mean, I'm not meaning to be gloom and doom, but it's possible. Our economy could collapse tomorrow, right? We could lose our jobs. We could on and on and on, right? You know, relationships sometimes are fragile. Boom. We do not know what the future may hold. We may not have the resource to buy a loaf of bread. But you know, when I put the Lord priority number one, I don't have to be moved by that. I mean, so preacher, if you know the Lord, doesn't he have everything under control? You know, the worst thing we can do is sit around and worry about what could happen in 2026. So, well, so preacher, I wasn't worried about it until you brought up all those other things. But the idea is, when you put the Lord as priority, and he's always before you, I mean, the circumstances don't look so big because I'm looking at Jesus. I'm looking at the Lord. I'm looking at all he is and all he can do in my future. So I'm not going to fret about all that. I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be blown away. And I'm going to be strong in my biblical convictions. I was thinking about this today. I am very unapologetically very conservative biblically. If you expect me to move, I ain't going to move. I've been here for a long time. Amy will confess, probably from the time we met to now, there's been very, 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 very few things I flexed on biblically or changed my mind on biblically. I'm not talking about big things either. I'm talking about, but I've been pretty solid. I was brought up in a solid Baptist church. And they taught right. It was a small church, but praise the Lord, I was taught right. And Amy says quite often, I'm thankful that I was taught right in the church I was brought up in. Her church was smaller than my church. But you know what? If you know the Lord, you don't have to be moved on your convictions and what you believe the Bible teaches. I mean, so many churches are in places they never thought they'd go because they were moved. But when I make the Lord a priority and his word a priority, guess what? I don't have to be moved. I can stay right where I'm at and be perfectly happy with it. Choice in 2026 and abundant blessings available. First blessing we looked at is stability, that is, I shall not be moved. If you keep on reading, it says, therefore my heart is what? Glad. My heart is glad. You know, if anybody ought to be glad, it ought to be a child of God that says, you know what, I'm making God a priority, but I'm going to be glad. We got too many Christians that are nothing but mad. You know, I've heard even preachers sometimes, they said, when you preach, you should preach glad and not mad. I mean, really, we got the best news, we got the best future, we got the best Savior, we got the best everything. Even if my ball team loses the ball game, it really doesn't matter because the Lord is still on the throne, right? And I know that He's going to take care of me. I'm a child of His. I mean, my goodness, we ought to be so grateful that we know the Lord is Savior. I tell you what, we ought to be glad. There ought not be a moment that we're not glad. Now, I realize I'm very human. You say, preacher, that's one thing you don't have to remind us of, that you're human, because we know it. We see all your faults. Well, praise the Lord. But, you know, I know things hit us, but we can still have that gladness in our life. Abundant blessings available in 2026. I mean, would you say that it's available today? Do you think that'd be available this year? We're already at January 7th. I'm already a day behind. 7th. Stability. Second is gladness. The third is joy. Joy. Abundant blessings available in 2026. We can have joy. Notice what it says. It says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. You know, I'm just thankful and I got that smile on my heart. I got the joy of the Lord. And it mentions joy again over in verse 11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Joy. He doesn't want us to have just a little smidgen. You know, I use this. I can use it with this crowd. You remember this. You remember Brill Cream? A little dab will do you. With joy, a little dab shouldn't do us. It should be abundant joy, right? It should be overflowing joy. And that blessing is available to me in 2026 because joy is not dependent upon what's happening in my life. As I say quite often, I'm sure we could go around. You could say, well, I got this problem. I got this problem. This is a situation. This is a situation. I got health issue here, there. You know, all the way around. We would have probably a huge list if we listed it all out. But you know what? That should not affect my joy because my joy is based upon my relationship with the Lord and putting Him priority in my life. That big smile on our heart. You know, I think of those big smiley faces, right? Just think about that. Your heart should be a big smiley face. Maybe not quite that big. It'd be kind of, but more like that. But a big smiley. I mean, on your heart because you know Jesus. And even in the, and we've seen people like this, haven't we? We've probably seen both extremes. We've seen Christians who proclaim Christ as their Savior, profess Christ as Savior. They go through something and they're grouchy and they're mean and they're hateful and they're blaming God. And then you hear some and it's like, man, I'm going to serve the Lord. I've been through this, I've been through that, but I'm just going to serve the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. I got a smile on my heart. I got joy. And that's available to us in 2026. Again, regardless of what happens in our country or in our world, we can still have joy. You know, the worst that can happen is we can have a bad life for the rest of our life. And if you figured out how many years we put in, how many years we got left, a lot of us here don't have that many years left, right? And we can say, praise the Lord. You know, the worst thing can happen is I can have a bad 20 years of my life. But after that, it's all good. It's all good. Amen. Stability, gladness, joy. And then it mentions hope. Notice what it says. It says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. This is one of those areas where the word hope in English doesn't mean the same thing as it does or was intended. It's probably the best word they could come up with. But when you see the word hope in Scripture, it's more like, well, I wonder if this is going to happen. I sure hope so. That's not the biblical concept of hope. The biblical concept of hope is something that's sure and something that's certain. It's that bounce in our step and say, hey, I can have a bad day, but I know that the Lord's coming back and going to take me home sometime. Wouldn't it be cool if the Lord came back before it got 7:30? Wouldn't it be cool? I'd love to see the embarrassed Christians who should be in church and aren't tonight. You know, but I'd just soon be taken from church to heaven. How about you? Y'all all right with up there on the balcony? Y'all okay with that? You'd go first because you're a little higher than we are. On the balcony I'm speaking of. But I'm thankful that one of those abundant blessings available to me is hope. That sure thing, that sure confidence that I have that God is going to take me home. That everything is going to be okay. You know, sometimes we struggle through life and we kind of maybe a little blah or a little bit discouraged, a little bit depressed. And we're thinking, you know what? You know, maybe we've tried to serve God and we fail God and we try and we fail. All that's going to be done away with someday. Aren't you thankful for that? Because that sure hope we have in the Lord. It says, my flesh also shall rest in hope. So abundant blessings available. This is only four verses. But look at all the blessings we can have. Stability, gladness, joy, hope. This next one's a good one, too. Are you ready? If you're ready, say, ready, preacher. All right. Look at verse 10. It says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Probably speaking of the grave there. Isn't that good? Do you know how many people think that once we die, all they do is put us in a box and we're done? But this says, you're not going to leave my soul in hell or the grave or at death. Amen. Wow. That's pretty good news, isn't it? Isn't that an abundant blessing? Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now, I do, and you see Holy One is capitalized in your Bible there or on the screen. I do think this is talking about the Lord Jesus. You know, he wasn't going to stay dead. But you know that word corruption? You know, our bodies are not going to corrupt. Our new bodies are not going to corrupt. You know, we're not going to be put on the ground and there our bodies just decay and that's the end of us. We're going to get brand new bodies. So corruption. You know, the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15 talks about what are immortal, incorruptible, or not even capable of being corrupted bodies that we have. I'm forever amazed sometimes that, again, soreness doesn't bother me. You know, when I do something, maybe a little bit different, stiffness gets me. I mean, it's like you take two or three steps, and yeah, I can move, I'm sure, but, you know, you kind of stiff there for a little bit. Anybody else have that problem? Okay. But the body that I have, it's going to be incorruptible, not even capable of being corrupt, an immortal body. It's not going to age. But aren't you thankful that the end of this earth is not put in a box and that's it? Paul says if there was no resurrection, we'd be of all men most miserable. I tell you what, we might as well just go out and do whatever we want to do because this is all we got. But I'm thankful that this is not all there is. I do agree that even if heaven was not real, I'd still serve the Lord. You know, I mean, I'd have a better life serving Him and doing the more. But I'm thankful that there's more. And He tells us that abundant blessing there, eternal life. Now this is really going to encourage you. You or I might die in 2026. We might leave this world. And believe me, that promise down there, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That's a pretty big promise. Amen. Abundant blessings available in 2026. Stability, gladness, joy, hope, eternal life. One more we're going to look at right here. Abundant blessings, pleasures forevermore. That's what the Bible says. Look at that. It says in verse 11, it says, thou wilt show me the path of life. That's good, right? And we're children of life, not of death. We have eternal life already back under that eternal life point that we looked at. And then if you keep on reading, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, the Bible talks about how God's going to show us His kindness throughout all of eternity in another passage. But here it talks about pleasures forevermore. We're going to have a grand time in heaven. Amen. Connie's the only one who must believe that. We're going to have a grand time in heaven. All right. Forevermore. And that's what it says. There are pleasures forevermore. If God is such a good God and we are the children of God, don't you think he'll shower us with these pleasures and these blessings throughout all of eternity? Amen. That should encourage us. In 2026, that should make us say, you know what? It doesn't matter what comes my way. I'm going to still put the Lord as priority number one, and I'm going to keep on serving him because it doesn't matter how bad it might get, because I know my future. And I know that the God who loves me and saved me through sending his son to this earth is going to shower me with pleasures and blessings throughout all of eternity. I mean, do you like to get people that you care about something nice? I mean, if you had the money, wouldn't it be good just to buy them something nice? And you say, well, this is cool. Well, God has all resources. And he loves us. And he wants to shower his blessings upon us throughout all of eternity. Pleasures forevermore. Abundantly blessed in 2026. Number one, a choice in 2026 to make the Lord the priority. And then we looked at all these blessings, these abundant blessings available in 2026. Stability, gladness, joy, hope, eternal life, and pleasures forevermore. Point number three. Now, this is really important. Nobody's fallen asleep yet, have they? Okay. Teresa, you're not asleep, are you? Okay. All right. Just checking. No, I knew you weren't asleep. Point number three, the eternal source of abundant blessings in 2026. The eternal source of abundant blessings in 2026. Now, we would say in a general way, right, that the Lord is the source of all blessings, right? Would y'all say that? But notice that phrase. I intentionally didn't say a whole lot about it, but I have already hit a little bit. Verse 11, right in the middle of the verse, it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And I'd say probably by the context, if you're looking at that, it's basically saying, in my presence are all of these blessings. Now, here's one of them is joy. But if you get joy, you're going to have these other blessings. So how do you get these other blessings? Well, I think it tells us right there. By being in the presence of the Lord. Now you say, kind of lost me there, preacher. What are you talking about? Well, it would be nice many times just to sit down with Jesus, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be nice to sit down with the Lord? I mean, face to face, like, okay, I see you, Jesus. Do you see me, Jesus? Yeah, okay, good, good, good. Let me talk to you about this. Let me ask you about this. But so what is it really talking about? The presence of the Lord. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Can I tell you that when we're with the Lord and we spend time with the Lord, we are in his presence. We can't see it, right? And I break things down pretty simple, I think, because I'm pretty simple-minded. I don't hear his audible voice when the Lord talks to me. You know, if I was in his presence, it'd be nice if I could hear his audible voice. But when I read the very words that he's recorded in his book for me, I can hear his voice. Right? So, being in the presence of God means I'm reading his book. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And before I read his book, I sometimes pray. I usually try every time to pray, Lord, speak to my heart through your Bible today. It's just like he'd be talking to me. And when I read this, I'm like, oh, okay, that's good, God. You're my strong tower. You're my refuge. You're my savior. Whatever. It's like, praise the Lord. And sometimes it's like, straighten up and fly right, Steve. And I'm like, oh, I got it. All right. But it's the Lord talking to us. It's not mystical. It's not mysterious. It's not Twilight Zone-ish, it is simply God speaking to us through his word. So we experience the presence of God when we get into his book. And this is God speaking to me. What's me speaking to God? Prayer. Amen. Now he wants to hear our prayers. He makes that abundantly clear in Scripture, right? I mean, some people almost feel like they're bothering God. Well, with my little problem. No, you're not bothering God with your little problems, your big problems, your lifelong problems. You're not bothering God at all, God, because it's a relationship, right? And the presence of God is listening to him through the word and talking to him through prayer. You say, preacher, that's pretty simple. Yeah, it is. The problem is we don't take time to do it a lot, right? But it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Now, I don't want to say that that's exclusively it, your own time with God, but that's probably the biggest part of it right there. But when we come to church, are we coming to church? We even call it worship service, right? Morning worship, evening worship. We say that, right? And when we get together and we sing songs and all, aren't we in the presence of God? I'm telling you, a lot of people are missing an awful lot in church today. I mean, it's just like, no big deal. It is a big deal. I'm tired of people putting God in the trunk and wondering why God's not blessing their life. Let me tell you, the presence of God is when we read His book, when we pray to Him, when we come and worship Him in church. You see, we're commanded to be in church. It's not an option. We are commanded to be in church. And when we come to church, we're in the presence of God, don't you think? A choice in 2026, are we going to make God a priority? That's big, right? Everything's going to revolve around Him. Second, abundant blessings available in 2026, and they're good, they're big. Stability in life, gladness in your life, joy in your life, hope in your life, eternal life to look forward to, and that'll make this life a whole lot better knowing it's coming, and pleasures forevermore. We got a lot to look forward to. It always helps me to have something to look forward to. Does it help have something to look forward to in your life? I got heaven to look forward to. Isn't that good? Thirdly, the eternal source of abundant blessings in 2026, it's the very presence of God. It's the very presence of God. I'm going to revisit our analogy here in a moment, but I want to give you an illustration. Recently, you know, Ogilvy Park up in Wheeling, you know, it's got all the lights. That's one of our favorite places. See, we spent a lot of time in Wheeling when I pastored Middleburn Baptist Church because most of our folks went to the hospital in Wheeling. It's about an hour. See, we could go to Clarksburg in about an hour and 15. We could go to Parkersburg in about an hour and 15 from Middleburn, and we can go to Wheeling in about an hour and 15. And we kept migrating back to Clarksburg with our doctors and everything, but most of the people there went to Wheeling to the hospital. So we spent a lot of time on the Ohio River going up Route 2 up to Wheeling, West Virginia. And Ogilvy is a pretty cool place around Christmas, all the lights and everything. So we were up there this year, and we saw the lights and saw a lot of the festivities. And we was in one of these candy stores. It had other stuff too, but this one counter was all candy. And there's like fudge, you know, it was all Christmas, all done up, decorated real nice. I'm sure there was cupcakes and fudge and little pieces of hard candy and all this stuff, you know, really fancy and really expensive, okay? I mean, we're talking about, I forget exactly, but like a pound of it was an astronomical price. And as we were walking by, we didn't order any candy there. But I remember this one guy, he said, well, give me two pieces of that. And, you know, the clerk would go over and get two pieces and put them on the scale because it was by weight. Give me three pieces of that. And she'd go over and get three pieces of fudge or something and put it on there. Then give me one piece of that. And it was all mounting up. I was thinking about that. You know, we as Christians, we can be as close to God as we want to be, right? But if we want all of these blessings, number one, you got to put God a priority. And number two, another P word, you got to experience the presence of God. Not only does he need to be priority, you know, he's right before me, as David said, look at all these blessings. But then he gets down there and says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. So we got to put him as a priority, and we got to experience his presence. You know, what if, you know, I could look at all that candy there and say, well, I sure would like to have that. I sure would like to have a piece of that. But I never go to the counter. I'm not going to get any of that candy. And in that case, it costs you big bucks. But you know what it costs you and me to go to this candy counter, if you will, of the Lord? Hopefully that's not sacrilegious. But go to the Lord and say, it only costs us our time and effort. That's it. We don't have to be rich to experience the presence of God. We don't have to be rich to have all of these blessings. I mean, wouldn't it be cool every day we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want a pound of stability. I want a pound of gladness. Lord, give me a pound of joy. Lord, give me a pound of hope. Give me a pound of eternal life to look forward to and abundant life here. Give me a pound of pleasure here and give me a pound of pleasure over in heaven. But so many of us, we sit back at the candy counter and we're like, oh, I sure would like to have that in my life. But boy, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to spend any time in the presence of God. I'm too busy to come to church. I'm too busy to read my Bible. I'm too busy to pray. We got reading guides back there that's been offered, and I counted up. I'm pretty particular about that. I knew how many I put out, and I know how many back there. Out of all the people in our church, and I thought this was actually pretty good, really. Probably people I'm looking at right now. There's about 10, 12 so of those things taken. And I'm like, that's pretty good. I mean, compared to a lot of places, I'm sure. But the people that want to experience the presence of God may be reading through their Bible. You might get behind. Remember this Bible plan, you only got 25 readings a month. So you got 5 days to get caught back up if you get behind. And you probably will, and I probably will. So let's, but what's it cost us? We need to go to the candy counter of the Lord and say, Lord, I want these blessings in my life. Hopefully I didn't make you too hungry tonight, but hopefully I didn't make you hungry for the Lord. Amen. But back to our analogy over here, right? You see, if we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm going to spend some time with you. And again, I know it expands more than just our quiet time, okay? Because we're in the presence of God when we come to church. And when we do what he wants us to do, we serve the Lord in the ministries and all that. Yeah, absolutely. But I'm telling you, the most important, and so many people don't get this. They say, you know, reading my Bible and praying every day? You got to be kidding me. I don't have that kind of time. Really, we don't have the time not to do that. You know what I mean? I mean, we need to be in God's Word. Again, that candy counter. But back to this analogy. I mean, we go to the Lord, fills us up with blessings. Get into our, remember, this represents our life. This represents God. These are the blessings of God. Fills our life up. And if he said, well, I'll do it one day a week. Well, you're gonna run out of blessings. Because the world is going to sap all the blessings out of our life. Lamentations 3:22. Y'all remember that verse? Talks about the mercies of the Lord. They're new every morning. You know, the long-suffering talks about the mercy. Every day we need to go to the Lord and let the Lord fill up our cup with blessings, you know? Because the world zaps us of all of our blessings. The devil, the flesh, all the troubles in life. We keep losing blessing and losing blessing and losing blessing. But we go back to the Lord and let him fill our cup again. Fill my cup, Lord. Keep filling it and filling. Does that make sense? But what's going to happen if I hold this thing long enough? I probably didn't make my hole big enough. What's going to happen? You really need to get your eyes examined. You see that water coming out of there? Okay, let's just do this, okay? All right, before long, it's going to look like this, right? We got a whole lot of empty cup Christians around here that aren't experiencing the blessings of God because they're not spending time in the presence of God. Now, I know as well as anybody, it's hard. And the devil will do whatever he can to keep you out of the Bible and to keep you out of prayer. And prayer takes discipline to actually get on your knees or spend quality time. And our lives are so loud and our lives are so busy, we don't even have a place to go a lot of time. But let me tell you, if you take the time to come to the presence of God and let him fill your cup, your life, with blessings, man, you won't go around worrying about everything. You'll say, guess what? I got the joy, the gladness of the Lord in my heart and in my life. There's nothing God can't do. I'm looking forward to my future. And you'll have so many blessings in life. Again, I know I've had two analogies here, but it's kind of like if you want the candy, if you want the blessings, you got to go up to the counter. And to get that, you got to get in God's Word and get in prayer. And God says, sure, I want you to have that blessing. Absolutely. Here it is. Let me put it. And then it'll drain out again, but you go back to the presence of God every day and get more blessings. And it'll drain out, and then you got more. But the question I have for you, the question, and I'm telling you, this, you say, preacher, that's such a simple concept. Yes, it is. But you know, sometimes the most simple of concepts have a hard time getting into our hard, dull brains and hard hearts. And it doesn't do any good if you go home and say, oh, I kind of like that analogy. I kind of like that. It doesn't do any good if it doesn't change our heart. Yeah. And I'm sure, even though I imagine this is the chunk that probably took the Bible, and probably if anyone in our church is going to be in their Bible praying and reading the Word and seeking the Lord's face and putting Him as a priority, remember, priority and presence, He's number one in my life, I'm going to seek His presence. It's probably this bunch. But I'm sure that we might be able to do a little better, you think? You know, people say you get out of what you put into. You know, you get out of something what you put into something. And wouldn't it be something if everybody here, I'm going to go. Okay. Everybody here, say 15 of us. Wouldn't it be something if everybody here said, you know what? I'm going to put God as a priority, and I'm going to be in the presence of God. I believe we'd start to feel this spiritually speaking, we'd start to feel these seats shaking a little bit. I mean, we start to sense that God is working in our church. You say, preacher, you mean my not being in the presence of God could hold God back? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, because we as a church are only as spiritual as each individual put together, because that's what we are, a group of people, right? So I don't want to hold my church back. I want to be blessed myself. So can we put God as a priority? Can we spend time in the presence of God every single day? And again, I don't want to make it sound like my relationship with God is checking the boxes. It's not. It's a relationship. But that relationship can be sweet if you spend time with God. I think if you spend enough time with God, you'll start to look forward to Him talking to you through the Bible. And again, it's not an audible voice, but like, wow, this is good. I need that. And your perspective on life will be so much better if you spend time in the presence of the Lord, because the world's going to zap it. And if you don't refill it, you're going to be an empty Christian. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I don't know about you, but I want the abundantly blessed life in 2026. I really do. Do you want the abundantly blessed life in 2026? Do you really? I said, preacher, I really don't. Well, okay, I think you're a little strange, but I hope every one of us as Christians say, I want the abundantly blessed life. Well, are you making the Lord a priority in your life? Is He priority number 10? He made the top 10, praise the Lord, but He's not number one. You may want to ask God to help you put Him as a priority. Remember, it's priority first, priority first. Would you say, Lord, maybe if God is speaking to your heart and say, no, you haven't put me number one for a long time now. Would you take just a moment and say, God, help me to make you priority number one? Secondly, you say, preacher, I make Him a priority. But are you spending time in His presence? Are you spending time in His presence? In other words, are you coming to the candy counter, so to speak, the spiritual candy counter, and say, Lord, I want to spend time with You. Speak to me through Your Word, and God will give you these blessings in your life. A whole lot more important than financial blessings. Or coming to the source of blessing like that pitcher of water. Say, Lord, I need You to fill my cup. I need You to bless my life. So I'm going to spend time in Your presence. If you're having a real hard time spending time in God's presence, would you tell God about that and ask Him for His help? And even if you say, well, I spend a lot of time. You know, if God's speaking to your heart, you need to spend more time in His presence. Say, Lord, help me with that, would you? Every day. Every day. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your Bible. We thank You for these four verses out of Psalm 16, how rich they are. Lord, I pray that everybody here will indeed be abundantly blessed in 2026. Lord, by making You a priority in our lives, and Lord, spending time in Your presence. And Lord, just help us to do better for You. Lord, we love You. If there's anyone here that has never trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, not sure they're saved, maybe some folks listening in who are not sure they're saved, Lord, I pray that they'll nail that down tonight. Lord, the only way to be abundantly blessed starts. The only way to be abundantly blessed in 2026 starts with trusting the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And Lord, I pray that these folks who may be listening in will call out to you from a sincere heart and ask you to forgive them of their sins. And Lord, tell you in prayer that they believe Jesus really was your Son who died upon the cross to pay for their sins and resurrected back to life. And Lord, as they call out to you and mean that from their heart, Lord, they can be truly born again. And Lord, help them to be blessed in 2026. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.